8:36, and I was just talking about State Senator Len Susio down there in good old Meriden. And, Senator, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Brad and Dan. It's always great to start off a Monday morning talking to the two of you.
Well, we're honored as the senator's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, and there is a rally this afternoon. I know there's one in Torrington this morning at 10. There's a rally this afternoon in your neck of the woods urging that the governor's veto be overridden by the state legislature. How about giving us the details?
Yes, we're going to be meeting at 2 p.m. At the City Hall courtyard in Meriden on East Main Street. At 2 p.m., we're going to be explaining why House Democrats and Senate Democrats should be voting to override the governor's veto. We're going to be joined by several mayors from local towns explaining how devastating the governor's executive order will be to cities like Meriden and Cheshire. For example, Meriden's going to lose over $10 million in funding over the next couple of years if this budget, if the veto is not overridden. And Cheshire is going to be losing $13 million in funding each year if the budget is not overridden. So the consequences are dire, and the impact on local property taxpayers are going to be devastating if we don't overturn the governor's veto.
Now, Senator, have you talked to Democrats in your area? Have you got Democratic support? Because you're not going to do it without them.
Absolutely. That's why the point of this press conference and rally is to put the pressure on Democratic state senators and Democratic representatives to vote to override. In Meriden, where I live, there are three Democratic state reps, Hilda Santiago, Kathy Abercrombie, and Buddy Arbello, and three of them told me they don't intend to vote for the override. And we want to remind them that if they do not vote for the override, Meriden itself is going to be hit with a loss of millions and millions of dollars of grant money that we depend on to keep our local taxes down.
Well, they got to know this. Why would they not vote to override?
Well, you know, when you read the documents or the press releases that they're sending out, they're saying, well, the budget that's been approved, even though it's bipartisan, is not fair to the working poor. And then when you look and see, well, what do they mean by that? Well, one of the things they point out is that the cap on the automobile assessed values is an example. Well, we point out and counter to that therefore eliminating or reducing the property tax credit that you get on automobiles. So if they're saying that our proposed budget hurts the working poor, theirs is even worse because they're taking away tax credits that people would get on their automobiles, for example. So it's just they're looking for excuses to rationalize their position, but it's irrational and it's actually reckless and irresponsible. They're going to leave Meriden and Cheshire and Middlefield and Middletown, the four towns in my district. They're all going to be stuck with tens of millions of dollars of more money that we're going to be having to make up the difference for because of the loss in grant money from the government under Malloy's executive order. It's huge. It's an enormous difference. This is not just tinkering around the edge. I know that in Cheshire, the city manager made a statement that if the governor's the executive order were to hold, every property tax owner, the average property tax owner in Cheshire would be hit with an $1,100 property tax increase.
Whoa.
Annually.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's dramatic. It's too big. This is not an argument about a small thing. This is enormous. And we're urging people, by the way, Dan and Brad, we're urging people to call the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats. The House Democrats' number is 860-240-8500, and the House Senate Democrats are 860-240-8600. And we're asking people to call and tell the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats to vote to override the governor's veto. They have to do what's right for Connecticut. They have to support the people of Connecticut, not support Governor Malloy.
Now, Senator, when will the legislature meet for this override vote?
Well, my understanding is we're going to meet sometime between now and the 10th, which is a week from tomorrow. So sometime in the next week, the specific date hasn't been called yet, but that's what I've been told.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is the Associated Press has been out there reporting that it's going to be tomorrow. Now, you haven't gotten any notice on a vote tomorrow, have you?
No, I have not, although I am standing by. I've cleared my schedule so that, you know, on a moment's notice I could be up there, because this is going to be the most important vote of the year. The fate of the cities and towns and the tax payers in those towns is going to be dramatically affected by whether we override the veto or not. There is no alternative, by the way. It's not like, oh, well, let's look at an option. The Democrats and the governor haven't given us any other option. So it's either we vote to override the budget via veto, or they vote against that. It's either the governor's budget and its draconian cuts, or it's the bipartisan approved plan and the impact it'll have on our cities and towns.
Is UConn playing a big influence on this?
They're trying to, because I could tell. I'm getting a number of emails that are form emails. I mean, they say exactly the same thing, and they're coming through a third party, basically. So it's pretty much amateurish. But I've been getting some emails about this. I think they're trying to get the UConn students and alumni aroused about it. But Brad and Dan, we all know no one's debating the fact that we are in dire financial circumstances. Something's got to be cut somewhere. And we chose in our budget to protect the poor and the disabled and the handicapped and people who really do need state help, at least at UConn. If we are reaching a level of prestige where we're ranked 18th in the country, well, you would think that they could make adjustments to their to tuition and other things to help some compensate for cuts in state funding. But the poor have no choice, and the handicapped have no choice. So it's a really difficult situation, but no, somewhere someone's got to have their spending cut, and we felt that we had to protect the poor and the most vulnerable first. And UConn can basically have alternatives to compensate for those. And by the way, they do get over $1 billion a year of state subsidy. I mean, that is not chicken feed, and that's out of a $20 billion overall budget. So we do give them substantial help already, and even with the cuts that we proposed, it's still over $1 billion a year of state subsidy they're getting.
You know, Senator, we had David Walker on our program
yep.
the other day, and as you know, he's running for governor, seeking the GOP gubernatorial nomination. You know his history. He's a CPA. He's in the Accountants Hall of Fame. He knows how to read a financial sheet. And he says right now, it's not just Hartford, but cities like Waterbury and Bridgeport are in worse financial shape than Hartford, and this is stuff that's not being explained. The state is in a financial mess, and our cities are in a financial mess.
Yeah, we're really in a financial Armageddon of sorts, basically. It's the accumulation of years of financial mismanagement at the state and municipal levels, at least in the cities. And you know what the governor's proposing is just going to just be the final nail in the coffin. We can't. To me, there's no rational option. It's either you have to vote to override the budget veto, because the option is the financial death of our cities and towns, because it's going to be a devastating, an incredibly devastating impact on the cities and towns. And take a look at it, by the way. 85 cities towns will have their funding completely cut from the state of Connecticut, and another 54 will have it substantially cut. I mean, that's 139 towns out of, what, 160 in Connecticut are going to be penalized dramatically by the governor's executive order. This is, it's financial Armageddon for many of those towns.
What do you think your percentage is as far as those who would vote for an override? I just can't understand. With a situation that we are in, and Dan and I have found out a lot of things, and we've had them on this radio program, that were not told to us, okay, mm-hmm. by the Democratic Party, have not been told to us, but we have them as facts.
Well, there are some who would say the Republicans haven't told us everything about their
budget,
too.
Well, okay, they haven't maybe either, yeah. but they're at least the budget is different than the Democratic budget. And I'm surprised that Governor Malloy, being, as I've said this before, being his final run for the governorship, to do something like this, because he knows in his heart that this would help us.
Right. Well, first of all, in our line-by-line item budget, there's something like 1,400 lines in there. For us to divulge everything, people would fall asleep if we went into all the details. But it's published on the website for the Republicans, so there's no attempt to hoodwink or hide anything from anybody. It's just that when you're dealing with a $20 billion budget that goes on for dozens and dozens of pages, it's impossible to, and even in a radio talk show like this where you could talk for a half hour, you can't get into every little detail. It's just virtually impossible. But the important thing is this. The Republican budget, number one, adequately funds our cities and towns. Number two, it protects the most vulnerable in our society, the intellectually disabled and the poor. And by the way, senior citizens. And it doesn't involve a tax increase, which that's what's been the Achilles heel of the state. One tax increase after the other is the way that the Democratic-controlled legislature and the governor have chosen to balance the budget with record-breaking tax increases. That cannot happen again. It's just a repetition of the mistakes of the past. And we, the Republican Party, have said no to that, and we intend to hold the line in that. We will not vote for a tax increase and put another burden on the taxpayers, the already overburdened taxpayers of Connecticut. It's time to get spending under control. It means tough choices, and they've got to be made. There's no getting around it.
Well, Senator, to be fair, though, the Democrats are out there saying the Republican budget calls for an additional $1.5 billion in new revenue. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I'm not exactly sure what they're talking about. I know this, that when you take a look at they'll count things like the hospital tax situation as part of that, I'm certain. But the deal with the hospitals is a deal whereby they actually come out with more money than what they're paying in under the tax proposal that we've got. If they want to count that as a tax increase, God bless them. Let them count it as a tax increase. But I'll tell you what, if the government's going to increase my taxes and the result is I get more money back than I'm paying in, I don't count that as a tax increase. I think it's a tax break. So they tend to take things and distort them and take them out of context and not represent their true effect on people.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. What time again is that rally today, Senator?
2 p.m. at City Hall in Meriden on East Main Street. And again, people who can't make it should be calling the Democratic House at 860-240-8500 and the Democratic Senate number at 860-240-8600 and just tell them, vote to override the governor's veto and spare Connecticut's towns the financial devastation, which is going to be the result of not overriding the governor's veto.
Senator, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be on top of it, no doubt about it. So thanks again.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, guys. Always good to talk to you.